Okay, we're back.
We're back.
He likes to crotch on you. It's Mr. Rob Fortune.
Thank you for that introduction. Now I'd like to introduce this man. This man is a man of questionable morality, but not nearly as questionable as this week's musical guest. It's Jomo.
I'm America's favorite piece of shit. Amazing. Every parent hates me. Some say I'm the biggest piece of shit. I know I'm the biggest piece of shit. I'm a great piece of shit. No one shits better than I do. And that is what it is.
I came looking for booty.
All right.
You're not a pedophile.
I'm not a pedophile. That's all that matters. I'm not a pedophile. But his wife yells at him, looking at other women, when he replies, I'm a flirt. It's Mr. Jack Falcon.
What's up, everybody?
What's up?
How much?
We spent a week listening to R. Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Amazing. I wonder what he's doing. I'll tell you what he's doing right now.
I'm fighting for my life.
Yeah, definitely. If you look up R. Kelly on Wikipedia, the thumbnail picture is his mugshot. It's like so embarrassing. Why do mugshots always look so bad? Because if you look at his album artwork and a bunch of pictures of him, he looks great. He's handsome. He doesn't look that old. Even in the I'm fighting for my fucking life meme, like he looks good. He has like his hair down. He looks good. And then there's that fucking mugshot and it just looks terrible, but they all look bad. He actually has a couple mugshots. He's been in and out of arrests for quite a while now.
Well, it's amazing that he has like so much trouble or whatever, because he's released music every couple of years. So like when I was looking at that, I'm like, did he just get accused of shit and get away with all of it? Did he do no time? I didn't really know what was up with this dude other than like the Chappelle show skit and like a couple other things. Like I didn't really know much about this guy. I knew I Believe I Can Fly, and I guess I don't know. But I didn't know this fucking dude other than he got in trouble for, what is it, you know, urinating on a 14-year-old woman or some shit. I don't know. I never listened to this guy before this week.
He allegedly...
How are we talking?
Well, yeah, exactly. The teenage thing. He was allegedly illegally married to Aaliyah when she was like 15 years old and he was 27 or something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
He met Aaliyah when she was 12. So anyway, all this information, I have a little write-up here of R. Kelly. What's up? I have a little right up here, R. Kelly. This stuff's all from Wikipedia. Because, yeah, I didn't know shit about R. Kelly except, well, I'll talk about what I knew about him when we get into his records. But I got a little write up here. All right.
Yeah.
You ready? Okay.
Yeah, ready.
So Robert Sylvester Kelly is an American singer-songwriter and record producer. He's been credited with prolific success in both R&B and hip-hop, earning nicknames such as the King of R&B, the King of Pop Soul, and the Pied Piper of R&B, which I believe is a name he gave to himself. Kelly's released 18 studio albums, The Hip Hopra, Trapped in the Closet, and has been nominated for 25 Grammy Awards, of which he won 3 for I Believe I Can Fly from the Space Jam soundtrack. He is actually not even on the Grammy website, so they scrubbed him from that. Kelly has also written, produced, and remixed songs, singles, and albums for other artists such as Michael Jackson, Toni Braxton, Whitney Houston, Aaliyah, Janet Jackson, and Mariah Carey. He sold over 75 million albums and singles worldwide, making him the most successful R&B male artist of the 1990s. And one of the best-selling music artists of all time. The Record Industry Association of America has recognized him as one of the best-selling music artists in the United States with 40 million albums sold, as well as only the fifth black artist to crack the top 50. In March 2011, Kelly was named the most successful R&B artist of the last 25 years by Billboard, and investigations by law enforcement and journalists revealed that Kelly used his fame to seek out underage fans for sex. Leaked video recordings of an encounter with an underage girl led to his prosecution in 2002, but was acquitted in 2008. Apparently, they couldn't actually tell who the girl was in the video, so they couldn't actually tell how old she was. That was one of the big first ones when he was important stuff. The 2019 documentary television series Surviving R. Kelly re-examined Kelly's alleged sexual misconduct with minors, prompting RCA Records to terminate his contract. Kelly was arrested in July 2019 on new charges. In 2021, he was convicted under the Mann Act and for racketeering. In 2022, Kelly was convicted of 3 child pornography charges and 3 charges of enticing a minor. He was sentenced to serve 31 years imprisonment in a combination of concurrent and consecutive sentences, and he was scheduled for release on December 21st, 2045, when he will be 78 years old. So that's where he is now, and that's what he was, what he ended up going to jail for. I was reading about R. Kelly on Reddit, and somebody, they were listing their top favorite albums, and someone said, "Separate the man from the music. There's no R&B without the R, and you'll know it." So R. Kelly is still very popular, even though he does a lot of scumbag shit. He's still very popular, especially in the Black community. And another person had said in that the Reddit page that, like, someone was like, "Does anyone even still listen to R. Kelly?" And then someone was like, "I think a lot more people than you might think listen to R. Kelly. They just don't admit it anymore." So yeah, he's still popular, he's still big, people still listen to him. So
when you say teenage, how old are we talking?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's a good question. That's a goddamn good question. I think that's something that we need to examine. Why are we faulting this man for wanting to pee on people? I don't agree with peeing on kids or doing anything of sexual deviancy, but right now he's just,
"I'm fighting for my life."
Because of that,
I think part of it is just the sheer amount of people that he's been involved with that he probably shouldn't have been. One father of one of the women was saying that if this was happening to white people, there would have been maybe like 1 or 2 victims before R. Kelly was arrested or had his career ended or whatever. But because it wasn't white people, he was able to do it for years and years and years. I think some of it is because he was so famous. Some of it was because he had a lot of money. Some of it was because people wanted to work with him. So it's kind of like that Harvey Weinstein thing where, like, people know what's going on, but people don't want to say anything about it. So
turning that old blind eye.
Yeah. Turning the blind eye. Yeah. So I think it's just something that people knew what was going on. They didn't really want to, Jomo said they wanted to turn the blind eye because they wanted to be involved with him and stuff. And yeah, I didn't realize just how successful R. Kelly was. I've brought up earlier how successful he was, but yeah, he's been around for a long time and he has sold a shit ton of albums and he's collaborated with tons and tons of people. All right, do we want to talk anymore? Do we want to just start discussing his records?
Oh, let's go, buddy.
All right, let me drop some artwork.
"I like you and I want you."
What the fuck?
That's Please Johnson, the Booty Warrior.
Oh, okay. All right, 12 Play is a 12-track record released in 1993, coming just over 63 minutes long. It's R. Kelly's debut studio album, reaching number 2 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart, and contains the singles Sex Me, Bump and Grind, Your Body's Calling, and Summer Bunnies. 12 Play follows his tenure with R&B group Public Announcement, with whom he released one album, 1992's Born into the 90s. It went to the top of the R&B albums chart for 9 weeks straight and serves as the first of a trilogy of albums Kelly released under the 12 Play moniker, including 2000's TP2.com and 2005's TP3 Reloaded. Following the success of Born into the 90s, Kelly began touring as an opening act. During the tour, he became frustrated with poor lighting and the empty seats during his set. To generate more attention during the show, Kelly began thinking of what would be his gimmick to take it to the next level, something that would make people remember him. Kelly stated, "I thought about it for a couple days and finally came up with a little skit of me just talking to the audience. At that point in the show where I would break down Honey Love," which is a song with this previous group, "I would start talking to the audience." And this is what he would say: "Can I tell you something? Can I keep it real? Can I tell you about a dream I had last night? Well, I actually had a dream where I made love to Mary J. Blige. Well, it was only a dream, but it was so vivid, it felt real. But this is the dream. But in this dream, it was more than foreplay. It was 12 play. Can I sing it for y'all? Tell y'all how it went?" The audience would yell yes, and then Kelly's piano player accompanied him with chords. Kelly then began the countdown. The 12 play gimmick became so big that when Kelly went to radio stations to promote Born into the 90s, the DJs wanted to hear 12 play. The demand for it was so big that R. Kelly decided to create an album named after it. 12 play has been certified 6 times platinum. Rob, what do you think of 12 play?
Oh shit. Okay, yeah. So this album came out in 93. Cause I don't know. Do you know when the Chappelle Show skit was?
It had to be early 2000s.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna say okay. Yeah, I was gonna say 2005, but 2003 is probably more correct. But anyways, it's in early. Okay, yeah, that's what I needed to hear, because we, like, you know, we're on this discussion of like how big is R. Kelly and what is his audience and all of that, like. Spotify numbers aren't huge, so I kind of feel like this dude was probably huge, you know, in the 90s and then like up to 2002-ish. I think he was huge then, and those are like, you know, you're buying a CD at Best Buy, and like Spotify, I don't think really was huge until 2007 or whatever. So that's plays on Spotify reflects people's behavior between 2007 and the modern day, something like that. I don't fucking know. So yeah, like when I say that, like there aren't too many like big hits on most of these albums, I mean, you know, these probably were huge fucking albums back then. And also, yeah, 93, as far as I know, his first fucking accusation was like 2003-ish or whatever. And then, you know, and I know that in his 2008 album, he starts like off his album by like, you know, saying, you know, only God can judge me, like some fucking version of that. But yeah, at this point, all you have is like, the songs are super fucking sexual, but he's not like an accused fucking person yet. So like, I'm listening to this album for the first time, knowing that he's like accused of all this shit, and like, you know, people won't fucking touch him, or like, you know, people won't touch him anymore. You know, that's the view I have on it. So I think, but yeah, before I forget, the Pied Piper of R&B, he calls himself that. Okay, well, the Pied Piper lures children into the forest to rape and murder them. I don't know if he knew.
Bro.
So amazing. Okay, that's the name he fucking picked for himself. I don't know. I think he would. One thing I had in my mind this week was, you know, this is totally fucking different than Michael Jackson. Okay, well, it isn't, because they're both pop. It's both pop music. That to me, like instrumentally, it's like sometimes it's really fucking amazing, but like it's also so repetitive that it fucking annoys me. So I have to zoom in on like lyrics and vocals, which, you know, there can be like plenty of variety in, but that's the fucking thing. But yeah, Michael Jackson and this dude have that in common. They also have the pedophilia accusations in common. And then there's a whole fucking history of people either saying he's innocent, I'm going to keep working with him because people can be mean, the angry mob says shit that they don't fucking know anything about, they shouldn't fucking say things that they don't know. And then documentary after documentary after documentary. And then, you know, some people change their fucking story. Like we were just talking about how Lady Gaga had a fucking song with him, and it's like, yeah, like, you know, people are so fucking mean. And then eventually that song gets pulled after the last documentary. Fucking, I don't know. But yeah, so back to 12 Play. So I already said, like, instrumentally, this album kind of bothers me, especially songs like fucking Freak Dat Body. Like that song has the most dissonant, uncomfortable song, like chords, like for a pop song, this shit is uncomfortable and does not set the mood. I don't know how anyone fucks to this song, but whatever. Maybe this is my shot. Most of what I'm going to be discussing for the remainder of my reviews is going to be lyrics, I think, because there's some lyrics that really, yeah, I don't know. Okay. So yeah, I'm gonna get into the lyrics, because I ended up laughing a lot during this week, and this is not a comedy band. I don't know but yeah, like, okay. I hear you calling. Here I come, baby, to save you. Oh, baby, no more stalling. These hands have been longing to touch you, baby. Woo. And now that you've come around to seeing it my way, you won't regret it, baby. And you surely won't forget it, baby. It's unbelievable how your body is calling for me. I can just hear it calling, calling, calling for me. My body's calling for you. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. So, okay. So recently we had this controversy over that fucking Christmas song, Oh Baby It's Cold Outside or whatever. Is this song coercive? Is it rape? Is it whatever? Okay, well, like my uncle will tell you, like we as a human race would not fucking exist if people weren't fucking and trying to fuck. So like being a salesperson means a little bit of like, I don't know. You got to ask, you know, and then if you, you know, so a little bit of salesmanship isn't like inherently evil here. So I don't know if when I like the lyrics that I just read, I don't know if it's rapey because I know what I know about him now. Well, I mean, how am I supposed to feel when it's like, your body's telling me yes, and that's consent enough. I don't,
Jesus Christ.
Fucking damn it. My mind is telling me no, but my body is telling me yes. Fuck you. All right. Oh, baby, I don't want to hurt nobody, but there is something that I must confess to you. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Well, yeah, I mean, this is supposed to be like riding this line of like, you know, we have this like Catholic, you know, several of us in America have this Catholic background where we're made to feel evil for wanting to fuck. Well, you know, we were given this biology which makes us want to fuck. So should we feel so evil for wanting to fuck? No, like the desire to fuck is a gift from God. We wouldn't be here if we weren't reproducing. So yeah, it, on some level, he's saying something normal that we can agree with. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind, but you know, now that we, you know, he's been, you know, accused of pedophilia and all this, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, there is something wrong with bump and grind if you don't have consent, if they aren't over the legal age. And by the way, back to the whole legal age thing, I think nationwide here it's 18, but I think in certain states it's 16, and then like worldwide you'll get all these, and then historically you'll see like, you know, back in ancient Greece we were fucking 9-year-olds, I think, and that was just like, oh well, you died when you were 20, so you like, you know. Well, anyways, yeah, you got to think of it in terms of 20. You got to think of it in terms of the age that you're in. So we got to think of this in 1993 terms and not 300 BC terms, whatever. Okay, you say he's not treating you right. Lady, spend the night. I'll love you like you need to be loved. Girl, won't you try some of me? I don't know if there's anything. I don't. Reading this time, I don't know that. Okay, right. So the reason I picked that line. He has a bunch of songs about fucking people's girlfriend and like even his friends' girlfriends and like so this one's not particularly bad, except it's like oh yeah, you say he's not treating you right. So it's like, okay, how many times have you met someone at a bar or something and they're complaining about their boyfriend or whatever, and then like how seriously are you supposed to take that when you hear that? I mean, like, people, if you're with someone long enough, you're gonna know exactly how they smell, and you've seen them without their makeup on, and you've in whatever the opposite sex equivalent of that would be. If somebody's complaining about their spouse, well, shit, I mean, that's kind of normal. So it's like, oh, you got something to complain about your spouse? Let's come over to my fucking house. I'll bang you. Like, I don't know. I don't fucking like this. Anyways, seems like you're ready. Don't fucking tell me that you think I'm ready to go all the way. It seems like you're ready. Fuck you, dude. I don't fucking, yeah. And then finally, I like the crotch on you. Sweet fucking title. Thank you for that intro, Jomo. Yeah, this album is my least favorite of the four. I don't think that he's really found his voice yet. I don't think this album was particularly funny to me. So all I've read so far is like, he's borderline coercive even in 93. I don't like that he'll fuck people's girlfriends without you know, whatever. So I don't know. And I think it's every fucking song is about sex. And I don't mean just this album. I mean like for a guy that was like, and then even after all the accusations and stuff, he doesn't slow down. He like still all of his songs are about fucking. Nice. This guy is fucking incredible. I don't know what to All right, yeah. When do you guys talk? I'm done.
When you say teenage, how are we talking?
Yeah, someone needs to go through the R. Kelly discography or catalog and find out the percentage of the songs that are about sex. It has to be mid-80 plus. There are some that aren't, yeah. But for the most part, this guy's always talking about banging. Yeah. Okay, so before this week, this is what I knew about R. Kelly. Okay, Space Jam, I Believe I Can Fly. Bump and Grind, which I'd heard before, Chappelle's Piss on You, I'm Fighting for My Fucking Life meme, Trapped in the Closet / Trapped in the Drive-Thru, the Weird Al parody. And then I went on a date once with this girl who made a mixed CD when we were driving around, and Real Talk was on there, the Ignition remix was on there, and another one which I can't remember. So I pretty much had the whitest outlook possible before going into this week. I think that this is maybe my favorite of his records. I like the rapping going on here, and I think everything's pretty tight. So this album is recorded with a full band, and some of his later ones are too. I'm surprised that he kept a full band around instead of doing all the stuff with samples and stuff like that. Like even the instruments at the end of November Rain are not actually recorded live. They're just done with a keyboard or whatever. So I'm surprised that he did keep a full band around, especially on this album, even though this is his first. It's a good thing that the internet can explain what 12 play means, because I would have never associated it with 4-play, even though I really should have, because R. Kelly came up with it. So, I'm giving this, I think, number one for the week. I think this record is tight. I think it sounds good. Now, some of the rapping on this record, I don't know who's doing it, and I don't think it's R. Kelly. I think there are multiple people, like no one's listed as guests on this album, like on Wikipedia, where if you go forward to Chocolate Factory and Double Up and stuff, all the guest stars are listed in the track listings, but there, I don't think that he's doing all of the voice work here. There's somebody, I don't know if it's from his previous group coming in to rap with him or whatever, but there's definitely someone rapping on this album that is not R. Kelly. I don't know who it is, but they sound fucking great. Oh yeah. So I've made the joke before about how many babies were conceived to an artist or a song. R. Kelly has to be up there with the most babies ever conceived. I wouldn't be surprised if he is number one. He has a song later on, it's like a baby making song where he talks about making babies in the song. And he talks about how, you know, so many kids have been conceived to his music. And yeah, this guy makes baby making music. And sometimes, like, that's why I like this one, I think, the most, because there's a tighter rap thing going on here. He does do it later on with other people, but there's more than just the baby making stuff here, which kind of some of the later albums is a bit too much of it for me. Not that it's bad. It's like what this guy does. He might as well lean into it. The comments on this album are pretty positive and real. The further this guy goes in his career, if you start reading the comments on his YouTube videos, the comments get more and more troll as they progress. So there's a couple troll ones mixed in, so we can all laugh when we read the YouTube comments going forward. But for this record, they're all pretty positive. And so I think, like, the people who love this album really, really love this record. And then going forward, people are kind of up and down, and they'll troll and talk about peeing on people and stuff like that. Jomo, what do you think of this record?
Bro, album artwork, I just wondering, what was he holding, man? Is that a pimp cane? Is it something for BDSM where he beats his fucking women or shoves up their buttholes or something? I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. It's
use your common sense.
That's what I've been trying to do. Goddamn,
Rob. It's definitely a pimp cane, bro.
It'll be a pimp cane. Rob talked about fucking, you know, Bump and Grind so much. It's just, it made me want to think, like, is this the dead giveaway that we need for fucking hit? This is the prelude or whatever the fuck you call it, right? Right before, like, this is like, oh my God, like, Anakin was a Sith. Like, yeah, this dude was a rapist. Bump and Grind gave it the fuck away, bro.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit. Like, my mind's telling me no. Like, the dude knows. The dude knows he shouldn't be fucking around with this person. But my body, like, his sexual urge is taking over him. This dude is fucking, he screams rapey. All this week, I'm like trying to think, who's worse, Michael Jackson or R. Kelly? Like, it's just, man, you know, you got to look at Michael. You got to look at Michael's butthole looking and all the stuff that he did with kids. Like, that's pretty bad. Mm. But God damn it, man, he made Beat It. He made Thriller, bro. You got to, kid fucking aside, Michael was way better. To me, bro, like, this dude is,
You're saying you're not giving R. Kelly the same pass.
I'm not giving R. Kelly the same pass. R. Kelly... R. Kelly is a malicious person, man. He's evil. He's dark, right? Michael's just confused, and he wants to climb a tree, and you know, he wants to live in never. The dude was a big fucking child, bro. And he's still making money even after he's dead. That's how good he's a goddamn king of pop. You can't fucking disrespect him. So what? Someone got diddled, okay? So what? That's Michael Jackson sucked the kid's dick. Who gives a shit? Like that? That's the best dick sucking anyone's ever probably got. You know? Oh, you know? He's like,
I hate you, Jomo.
But R. Kelly, man, I can't forgive R. Kelly, bro. It's like the things he did. If you watch Surviving R. Kelly, man, it's crazy, man. But talking, I got to get back to this album. Jesus Christ, like Freak the Body, like that's rapey. It's like this dude is. The one song that I didn't like on this fucking album, Jesus Christ, Homie Lover Friend, it has no place on this record. It sounds like early 90s, like late 80s, early 90s fucking rap music. And I just, the vibe was not there. It's very off-putting. I didn't get it. Sex With Me is too long, way too long. And Sadie is a very, it's a very unappealing song. I get what it's about. It just lacks continuity throughout the record. And everything else is about, you know, hardcore fucking. The dude's giving out AIDS left and right. It is what it is. This is a 2 for 10 record for me. Robert, watch your booty hole in prison.
I came looking for booty.
So, yeah, I agree. R. Kelly is a malicious person. Yeah, if you watch the Surviving R. Kelly stuff, I don't know how much of that stuff is true. Because someone in the comments was like, oh, imagine what happens when your ex makes a documentary about you. But right. I do think he is, this isn't, he banged a couple people who lied about their age because they were fans and wanted to bang R. Kelly. Where it's like some of them are going to slip through the cracks because they lie or have fake ID or whatever. Like, yeah, there's maliciousness here. You brought up the 90s sound, late 80s, 90s rap sound. Yeah, there's quite a bit of this record that has it. I like that. I think it works. I like the rap scene of like the early 90s and stuff. When we did Big L, I love that sound. So I'm a big fan of the 90s sound, and I think some of it is captured really well here. Okay, yeah, lyrics going back. I mentioned, when you have a t-shirt and you're in good shape and your t-shirt says Body by Nintendo, it's like, oh yeah, it's funny, whatever. When you're fat, it takes on a whole different meaning where it's like, whatever. You know, okay. Yeah, you don't do anything. You just play games all day. So now you have these lyrics back before anything was happening. People were all into it. Yeah, my body's telling me yes, whatever. Now you're looking back and it's like, oh yeah, it is kind of weird. A couple of songs on here I want to talk about. 12 Play. If you don't remember that song, it's the very last song. I think it's actually untitled on this record, but it has the track listing somewhere as 12 Play. The singing in that song is so fucking insane that I love it. It's one of those things that's, I don't think it's supposed to be funny, but you're going to be laughing every time you hear it. Oh, and there's like 12 steps in that about how to get laid. And I bet you many people have been like, you know what? I'm going to try these 12 steps. And they've probably gotten laid from it. I don't know. I think this record is tight. I think it's good. The rapping is awesome. And it comes together as, I don't know, as a good package. So, he did a good job. And again, I think that people are more non-trolly about this because they really like this record. Again, like R. Kelly is very big and he always has been very popular in the black community. Oh, another thing that I want to talk about the maliciousness. There are things that R. Kelly has done, like contributing goods or whatever to people who were in need. And so when you see those, a lot of people say like there's R. Kelly and then there's his actual name is, like two different people. And one of them is this nice, like happy guy who will party or whatever and is always talking about fucking. And then there's the other guy who's like miserable and fucking hates people and treats them like shit. So let's read a couple YouTube comments. First one said, ain't nothing like the 90s. Next one said, love me some R. Kelly, sure wish he could make another hit. Next one says, still one of the sexiest albums ever made. Next, I don't care what anybody thinks. R. Kelly is still my number one artist of all time. And lastly, he's the king of R&B. They can't ever take that away from him. Yeah, it's true. It's true. What do you think the prison life is like for him, Jomo?
I'm fighting for my life.
I don't think he's getting in the fights.
I came looking for booty.
Maybe he is.
You know, Fleece Johnson's coming after his butthole, bro. For sure. It's happening.
I don't know what that means.
Oh my God. I got to show you that shit. Booty warrior. Oh my God. I sent that video, you fuckface.
Oh, did you? I'll have to watch
it. I'm fighting for my life.
All right. Is anything, anyone else want to say anything about 12 Play?
No.
12 Step. He likes 12 Plays, 12 Steps, and 12-year-old girls. Is what it is.
Nice.
When he met Aaliyah, I believe she was 12.
God, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Dude's a fucking shitbag.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. All right, let's move on to Chocolate Factory. Chocolate Factory is a 17-track record released in 2003, coming just over 76 minutes long. It's R. Kelly's fifth studio album, reaching number one on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart, and contains the singles Ignition Remix, Snake, and Step in the Name of Love. Originally titled Loveland, Chocolate Factory was written, arranged, and produced entirely by R. Kelly amid controversy over his sex scandal at the time. A few songs from Loveland were included on Chocolate Factory, but the album was never released in its original form. It was scrapped due to bootlegging. Promotional material for Chocolate Factory said Loveland was never to be released. Recording sessions for the album took place primarily at Rockland Studios and Chicago Recording Company. It was released in February 2003 on Jive Records, following a year of legal accusations for which he was acquitted in 2008. So that's one of the big, big ones that he's had before the one in 2019 or whenever that kicked off. But I saw there were things that he was in court for, I believe, even like all the way back in 97. Most of the album's lyrics focus on romance, and Chocolate Factory comprises slow jams and upbeat club tracks. Many of its songs draw on classic soul music with call and response choruses and harmonies inspired by The Temptations, Marvin Gaye, and Stevie Wonder. Kelly's vocals veer between singing and rapping. A limited edition of Chocolate Factory was released, containing a bonus disc that has a 7-track EP titled Loveland, named after the original scrapped version of the album. Chocolate Factory has been certified 2x platinum and contains guest appearances by Ja Rule, Ronald Isley, Big Tigger, and Fat Joe. John, what do you think of Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, you almost had a white slip right there, my buddy.
Because I was like, yeah, maybe I won't even put his name in the thing. Anyway.
you're like sounding it out. There's like fucking this hyphen separating it, making sure you don't fucking slip up. I get it. I understand it. If anyone's thinking it, it's me.
You know what I got to say to that, Jomo?
What?
I'm fighting for my life.
I know. I'll tell you this, I was fighting for my life conflicted off of this fucking record, bro. Like, now this is a great fucking record, bro. There's nothing more fucking good about this record. Like, this record was so damn good, it had to be sponsored by the Catholic Church, bro. It's like, it's fucking amazing. It's enduring, too. You know, just like the Catholic religion, Chocolate Factory ain't going anywhere, buddy. All these fucking songs, man, would make Hitler fucking blush, bro. It is amazing. And for someone who's illiterate, I will say this. This guy makes baby making music, bro. This is fucking legit. Ignition and the remix are straight hot fire. I was like, God damn, that's a good song, man. You know, so what if you beat on somebody? Like, everyone does that. People do that. I haven't done it, but, you know, I'm not opposed to doing it, you know. It might be in my repertoire in like 2 years from now when I hit my halfway point from fucking dying, you know. It is what it is. And the songs are so good, I even forgot that he even pissed on anybody, bro. That's how fucking great they were. Every song is innuendo titled, is fucking, it's littered with fucking and sexual rants and craziness. This dude doesn't disappoint, man. And like when Rob said, you know, separating the art from the artist, this is, I definitely can separate the art from the artist. God damn, man. Like I remember listening to Ignition and the remix to Ignition, I was just like, God damn, like if anything is gonna get you some pussy, it's that fucking song right there. The dude is a panty dropper. He's also a sexual deviant. 8 for 10 record for me for the week. This is fucking, it was a god damn, just the song remix Ignition, that's enough for me. That was like gold star. Let's clap it, let's put it together. Holy shit, man. Like I forgive him, but he needs to go back to jail.
Yeah, the Ignition remix is an eternal banger. I'm giving it. I've always loved the song, could listen to a repeat for hours. So the song right before it is Ignition, and there are so many double entendres in that song. That song is good, but it's like nowhere near as good as the remix. But it's way funnier. So when I'm listening to these back to back, I'm wondering like why the song and its remix are first of all on the same record and back to back. And it's because Ignition was one of the songs that was originally written for Loveland. So after it was scrapped, there were a couple songs from that were pulled and put on the Chocolate Factory. So he took that one from that and then remixed it when he was going, you know, putting the new songs together. So that's why they're on the same album and why, I guess, why they're back to back. Yeah. So knowing that R. Kelly has peed on people in the past, having a CD called Chocolate Factory, like, weirds me out. And I kept thinking about this like all week. Jesus Christ. I am surprised that this record is only 2x platinum. I would have figured this is one of his biggest records. This is like his fifth biggest album. Even like 12 play sales-wise is bigger than this one. And he's still recording with a full band here. There are even string and horn conductors in the credits. So they're not making this with synthesizers. They are hiring people, human beings, to come in and record, which is impressive. I'm giving this number 3 for the week. There's too many songs. Like there's too many songs that just kind of bore me. And it's not that they're bad. He has a style. Okay. So this album opens up with the song Chocolate Factory. And like no one is really denying how smooth R. Kelly is, right? Like his music is definitely, I feel like the music here is cornier than the stuff on 12 play. But like the dude knows how to seduce, and that's what he's doing here. He's continuing the baby making stuff. There's a song in here called Been Around the World with Ja Rule. It's one of the best songs on this album, and it wasn't a single. And when you're someone as big as R. Kelly, even at the time, like he will have this kind of fall from grace sales wise and support wise. But I mean, even at this point, he's still having number one albums, and there's three. This is a 17-track record, probably one of the biggest albums of the year, and there are 3 singles on it. There should have been 10 at least, bare minimum, on this record. He could have sold millions of copies of all these singles. So it's not that I don't like this record. I think it's just a bit too baby making music for me. There are songs like I mentioned, like Forever, Dream Girl. There's another one like Forevermore. They're just kind of like, it's not like it's a bad song. It's like I want that more upbeat kind of stuff. Rob, what do you think of Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, so I think I had a similar reaction to Jax, where like there's something about this album that really fucking bored me. I mean, I also don't have much to say against it. I mean, I did put this on and I was struck by like the way he does his vocals. It feels kind of, I'm going to use the word choppy. I don't know if that's the right word, but like he'll have phrases that have a ton of words in them, and they aren't like straight quarter notes or like in like a super normal pattern. So I think the vocals are, I don't know, interesting because he's doing some weird rhythms and stuff like that. And it's not just rapping. He's like singing, which also interests me because like, one of the later albums, he's auto-tuning himself. I'm gonna say later, he's not here. He's a great fucking singer. He doesn't need auto-tune. So I don't know exactly what that choice is about. I remember turning on this album, thinking the vocals were fucking weird. They were like good and professional, well sung, but also like rhythms that I'm not used to. And I don't know if that's a strike for him or a strike against him. I don't fucking know. What I want to do is make fun of Heart of a Woman. Fuck this song. This is some maximum simp shit. Well, I mean, maybe I'm jealous because he bangs everything. Okay, I don't even know what fucking line to make fun of here. So I'm going to just take a stab at a couple of things. Heart of a Woman. This song is dedicated to all the ladies from all of the men. You know what I mean? Simply Jesus. Because y'all through so much. For instance, how you just take us and lift us up. Give us chance after chance, and we still find a way to F things up. And sometimes y'all go and blame yourself for the things we do, because you love us so much for our lies become the truth. I love the word. That's why I love the word woman. Y'all are so tough. You put up with so much. Like, I hope that these things that you don't mean are working for you, because if they aren't working for you, I don't know why you're saying them, because to me, this is so fucking saccharine, and there's no fucking way that you mean this. But if this is the way that you manipulate people and it works, then I'm not fucking surprised that you're saying it. I don't know. To me, this the definition of saying something that you think that they want to hear in order to get something from them, like this, that's what this song fucking feels like to me, or it's so fucking cheesy, or I don't fucking know what, but like I'm a fucking facepalm at this song. But he is a successful person who, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't have a ton to say about this album. I'm just going to pass.
Yeah, Heart of a Woman bores me to tears. I definitely rolled my eyes a bunch when I hearing that song. Yeah, one time he talks about like, oh, you do our laundry and all this kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
like you do all to. This. Yeah. Well, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, song did make me roll my eyes. Anyway, there's a song, Step in the Name of Love, which I think was a great choice for a single. It stuck in my head quite a bit this week. Go back and listen to that song, and the bass sounds like someone messing up in Guitar Hero. And they do it, and it's like, they keep doing it throughout the song, and it's like, but it doesn't sound good. So it didn't sound good the first time you did it. It didn't sound good the 30th time you did it. Just remove it. Get rid of it. Two other songs I want to talk about. One, Imagine That, hidden banger song. And I think, yeah, like at points, this guy's band is really, really good. The guitar player rips in it. And I wasn't expecting a song to be like that, to be in this track list. And then one of the second to last songs, A Snake, right? He says, I want to see you move your body like a snake. But the problem with that is now all I can picture is a bunch of fucking cartoon snakes dancing. And like musically, the song is like Spanish style, which is cool. It's different. But again, I'm just thinking of snakes like dancing on a pole, and I can't take the song seriously. So yeah, I don't know. This is Jumbo. Where did you put this? Where is this on your list?
What, Chocolate Factory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking eight. It's 8 for 10, bro. This is fucking.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. First of all.
When you say teenage, how are we talking?
Okay. Let's remember that. And then now he's.
I'm fighting for my life.
And it's just, dude, you can't remix to Ignition and Ignition are where it needs to fucking be, bro. Like, don't.
Bangers.
Dude, they made the fucking record, bro. That shit is like, that shit will get you any pussy in my eye.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. All right, let's read a couple of YouTube comments. The first one, so like I'm saying, they're going to get trollier as we go. First one says, the Ignition remix makes me feel so young. Just don't tell R. Kelly that. Next one says, his songs never get old, just like his girlfriend's. Next one, next one says, the music isn't guilty, he is. Next comment, in 30 years he will release another banger like this. He's got plenty of time to write songs. And lastly, 2022, still listening to R. Kelly, you can't deny the man's talent. Yeah, I do think that out of any person who has been canceled or in prison, R. Kelly is going to be one of the bigger ones that people continue to listen to and maybe not bring up. When I told Becca we were listening to R. Kelly, she's like, isn't he canceled? R. Kelly is way past canceled. R. Kelly is in fucking hardcore prison for the next 30 years.
I'm fighting for my life.
Yeah, exactly. All right, is there anything else anyone wants to say about Chocolate Factory?
No.
All right, let's move on.
Use your common sense.
Are we good, or does anyone need to use the bathroom?
No, good.
Okay, Double Up's an 18-track record released in 2007, coming in just over 76 minutes long. It's R. Kelly's 8th studio album, reaching number 1 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles I'm a Flirt Remix, Same Girl, and Rockstar. It became Kelly's 6th and final album in his career to chart at number 1 on the Billboard 200. Prior to Double Up's release, 3 songs were leaked onto the internet. Same Girl, Rise Up, and Blow It Up, which was initially to be featured on the album but left off of the final track listing. Kelly began his Double Up tour with Ne-Yo, Keisha Cole, and Jay Holiday opening for him. 1 week into the tour, promoter Leonard Rowe had Ne-Yo removed from the tour because he said, because of a contract dispute. However, Ne-Yo alleges that the reason for the dropout was because he believes he received a better response from critics and fans. Ne-Yo won a lawsuit that he had filed against Roe Entertainment in 2008, which Kelly was not mentioned in. R. Kelly has a YouTube video of him speaking out about his success and his thoughts on collaborating with artists such as Young Jeezy and Ludacris. He thought, why not put some of that magic on my album? On most international versions of the album, the song Rise Up is left off of the track list. It was reportedly intended predominantly for North American listeners because it is about the Virginia Tech massacre, something that non-North American fans of R. Kelly may be unfamiliar with. Double Up has been certified platinum and contains guest appearances by Swizz Beatz, Snoop Dogg, Nelly, Chameleon Air, T.I., T-Pain, Usher, Huey, Ludacris, Kid Rock, and Keisha Cole. So this album has the most amount of guest appearances that we're going to hear this week, and I think that they're all great. Snoop Dogg is in the song Double Up. He never fucking disappoints. And he is kind of in the beginning in the back of the chorus or back of the verse, whichever part he's doing the backing of for R. Kelly. And I thought that was going to be his whole contribution. But then he comes in and rips an entire verse by himself, and it's great. So that song, though, I don't believe it was a single. It wasn't. And any song with Snoop that isn't an international hit is a mistake. This record should have had no less than a dozen singles. He could, every song on here that has featured guest should have been a single. Every single one of them, they're all good. And so, yeah, because he was like really popular at this point. So this is going to be his last album to go to number one. I don't think anything has since. It's still high. Like they'll go to number two or number three or four or whatever, but they're just not hitting number one. So yeah, like a bunch of this stuff. There's a song Get Dirty with Chamillionaire. I haven't heard of him, heard his name in quite a while, but it's one of the best songs on the record. There's the I'm a Flirt remix, which has T-Pain in it and T.I. They're both great in the song. That's another song by R. Kelly that everybody knows. I'm a Flirt. We've all heard it a billion times. Don't leave your girlfriend or wife around R. Kelly or he's going to bang them. Then we got, so Real Talk is a song that I mentioned. The girl who I went on a date with, she, burned that mix out, that mix, tape or whatever. Real Talk is one of the songs on it. I've loved it from the first time I ever heard it. It's so funny. It's on the more ridiculous, side of the scale of his songs. It's so funny, so entertaining. Yeah, you'll never get bored of it. Song on here, Rockstar, has one guest appearance I would have never expected to have turned up on an R. Kelly record, and that is Kid Rock. Kid Rock and Ludacris are in the same song, and anything with Ludacris is going to get a hell yeah from me. He's great in it, as always. This is not the only time he has collaborated with R. Kelly. But yeah, they all three of them work well together in the song. Luda's a standout, as he always is. But yeah, even Hook It Up, which has Huey in it, should have been a single. There's a song, Same Girl, with Usher. Amazing collaboration. They did so well together. They work well together. It's like his like the typical R. Kelly like baby making style, but it has like a little extra spice in it because you got Usher in there. So yeah, I'm giving this number two for the week. I love the guest appearances. And when he was talking about, you know, it's like you take people like Ludacris and stuff. Why not put some of that magic on my album? It was a great idea. I agree. I actually look forward to listening to when I was listening to his music to this one, because I wanted to hear Snoop Dogg. I wanted to hear the song with Usher. I wanted to hear the one with T-Pain. And he has like a good formula base, and then they work well to kind of like elevate the stuff that he's writing. Rob, what do you think of Double Up?
So I listened to this album several times all the way through. So I don't know if that makes this like a good album in my eyes, or I definitely laughed a lot in this. And there's certain things that happen on this album that like, okay, so he's a convicted sex offender and like, you know, bad person, you know, whatever. But like he's made some music here that is kind of burned in my brain now. And let's you know, if something honest is put down and like recorded, you know, there's a certain, I'm going to use the word magic. There's a certain magic to that. You know, I think a lot of shit that's made out there gives me no fucking response, which is kind of like the worst thing that you can do as an artist, you know. So there's something here on this album. So there's a reason that I had such a fucking reaction to it. You know, whether I like it or I don't know, but this album kind of I definitely had a strong reaction to this album. Okay. The Champ, dude has a fucking tramp stamp on that says fucking only God can judge me. You know? it has to be rough to, you know, he's on the one hand, he's fucking famous and he has people that love him. And on the other hand, he's, you know, mocked in the public eye. And then he had a certain amount of success with women, but he also, coerced and fucking, you know, didn't have the right to do half the shit he did. Or, you know, or maybe he was consensual 99% of the time. But the thing is, like, you can't do that crime once without it contaminating your fucking soul. So whatever. I don't know. So like when I hear that like shit that's on The Champ, and then he's like, okay, now that I have that out of now that I have that said, now I can move on to the rest. And like, now he doesn't need to talk about that for the rest of the album. I think, I mean, he has another song like that on the other album that we're going to talk about, where he needs to talk once more about being, you know, loved on the one hand by a percentage of people and then fucking despised by other people. Well, yeah, I can imagine. I just heard a beep. Is somebody talking to me? What's going on here?
I just posted a picture in the chat.
Okay.
I'm fighting for my life.
What are you doing right now, Rob? I'm fighting for your fucking life.
Well, anyways, something happened, and then okay, so I don't know. So that happened. Double Up. Yeah, we talked about how Snoop Dogg's cool. Trying to Get a Number. That song needs bass. There's a certain amount of songs we've listened to over time. Like, there's a certain amount of songs we've listened to that have no fucking bass guitar in them. This is one of them. That song was in my head for a lot of this week. But it bothered me that it's too fucking tinny. I need a fucking bass guitar behind that. Leave Your Name is one of the songs that made me laugh so fucking hard. I'm going to try to like remember what the fucking line is, but it's like, you know, yo, if you're calling babe, fucking leave your name after the beep. The only way I won't call you back is if I'm smoking weed, or if I'm having some sex, or if I'm a little bit faded, or if I'm making a baby. Dude needed to say it twice. I mean,
yeah.
And it's not like that's some fucking throwaway verse. He says that fucking five times because it's the chorus, and like to me it's so fucking funny that he says it twice, and then at the end of it it's fucking 200 missed calls, and you know, I don't know who. Okay, assuming this is true and not like, what is wrong with the world if it's like, I'm impregnating people, but also there's other people that I want to fuck on top of that, and every like 200 people are okay with that being the nature of our exchange and are willingly signing up for that. I suppose that sort of thing is happening out there in the world. The world makes no fucking sense to me. That's why I live in my fucking cave of autism. Freaky in the Club. Okay. Good song. I'm a flirt. When I was like in college, one of our friends banged one of our friends' girlfriends, and like that to me was like kind of like a nightmare situation for me, because I looked at those two friends and I was like, yo, those two are like really fucking tight. And then when that dude banged his girlfriend, I'm like, okay, well, this dude would bang my girlfriend in a fucking second, because I'm not as good of friends as these two dudes. And so like that person then became kind of like, okay, well, as soon as I have a girlfriend, I'm not going anywhere near him. I'm not fucking respond. Like, if he invites me somewhere, I'm not fucking going, because why would I want a friend that like stresses me out that much? Like, if like somebody who's like trying to fucking sabotage me, I don't fucking want that as a friend. So this thing where it's like, you know. Just being honest, if you bring a girlfriend, like, I'm going to try to steal her in front of your fucking face. I don't understand this, but I don't know. It's not my world to comment on. It's just like, if R. Kelly is not somebody that I would be friends with, I guess is what I'm saying. Okay, Real Talk is one of the fucking songs that I listened to the most this week, because I can't believe that this is a song. I mean, I know that... this song parallels a song that we're going to talk about on the next album, where the other one is a skit, which that makes sense to me. I can imagine, but Real Talk, I don't know. This is one of those things where I don't know if it was I don't know how to say this, but it's like, I can't believe that Real Talk is a song. I can't fucking believe that Real Talk is a song. I mean, I have heard of these conversations. This is like a real conversation that a lot of human beings have had, and then it's put to music. It's so like when it's called Real Talk, and I don't know what to say about it exactly. Okay, yeah, it's about and you have to remember that the way that I'm viewing this album, Track 9 is blurred out. It's track 9 is, what is it, Same Girl with Usher. That's blacked out. I don't know what that means exactly. I assume that, like, Spotify removed it because legal reasons. So if you listen to this album in 2008, there's a song in between it. But the way that I view this album is... track 8 is I'm a Flirt, so it's all about, like, oh, if I go to the club and I go to the club all the time, I'm trying to fuck everyone. I'm like, everyone that comes into the club, I'm going to love bomb them and try to fuck them. So that means that, like, I have this, like, Rolodex in my brain as far as, like, I've already fucked that person. Here's a new person. I need to fuck them. Oh, they're taken. I'm going to fuck them anyways. And, like, this is, like, he's saying that this is how he is. And then the next, very, very next song is he is accused of fucking other people by his girlfriend. And he's all like, I don't fuck other people. What are you saying? Oh, and then this fucking line of, like, okay, you saw me with a table full of other women. Okay, were there other men there? I said, were there other men there? He's getting fucking angrier. So he's like, I can't fucking believe this moment is put into a fucking song. But yeah, and then it's like, you know, so he's doing this fucking thing where he's using, like, he's trying to argue the other person to, like, make them give up on their accusation, even though in his mind he must know it's real, but he's not gonna fucking, like, give up his right to bang everything with a hole. So he's gonna deny. But so yeah, and like, and then at the end of it, he's like, oh yeah, Sean, give me a ride home. This bitch lost her mind. And it's just like, I can't even believe that there's some fucking dude who will leave the club in order to give him a ride either. I mean, is this before Uber? Was Uber invented in 2008? I don't know how many people would give me a ride home under any circumstance that I've ever been in. So for this guy to, like steal his friend's girlfriends, and then these people are still willing to, like, give them rides places, like, immediately with no fucking warning. Oh, you're talking up a babe for yourself because, like, you want to have some fucking fun too? Well, fuck you. You're my fucking chauffeur now. I have to go get my clothes back from this woman I'm cheating on. I can't fucking believe this is a song. Oh my, yeah. But anyways, I'm getting excited talking about this song because, like, I had such a fucking visceral reaction to this song, which again is better than anything that Nickelback has ever done for me. Love Ludacris. What else do I want to say? Having a baby is another fucking song. I can't believe is a song. Oh my God. I think it's kind of a song that I can believe. I mean, it's cheesy until the fucking scene where he's like described, like he's like giving like birthing lessons to like the woman that he got pregnant. And he's like, you know, like he's trying to tell her how to breathe. And it's like, it's like, it's like he describes fucking and trying to pick up women so much that now he's giving a fucking like science lesson as part of a song, and he's like, I'm a stand-up dude that's gonna help my mistress like have a like give birth to this child because I'm more of a medical expert than the doctor that's in the room. I'm like, fuck R. Kelly, oh my God. I don't know. Yeah, amazing. I listened to this album a lot. This album is fucking intense. I can't believe this album exists. First place, that's it.
Yeah, real talk. I remember like the first time I ever heard that. It's like, what is this? Yeah, he's like talking. There might be a rhyme or two, but it's not like intentional. And then he puts his conversation to music. I've always loved it. It's so ridiculous. So yeah, 3 or 4 of the collab songs on here are also pulled from the track listings on YouTube. So besides Lady Gaga, like actually removing the song she did with R. Kelly, which was called Do What You Want, which has some of the greatest artwork ever for a single. I don't know if these other people actually asked for their songs to be pulled, but if you go to listen to this on YouTube, people have made track listings and 3 or 4 of these songs are removed from quite a few of them. Like Rockstar is one. Yeah, it could be. I'm pretty sure Same Girl is one. Get Dirty might be another one. So yeah, there are some people who don't necessarily want to be associated with R. Kelly anymore, even though they were 10 years ago or whatever. And Jomo, you know how they say Wilt Chamberlain has banged like 1,000 women?
Bro, the dude invented syphilis.
Do you what do you think R. Kelly's numbers are in comparison to Wilt Chamberlain?
He's definitely Jenny from Forrest Gump. He's got AIDS, bro. It's 1500 maybe 1500, because you got to think about every. What do you count? Do you just count blowies? Do you count full sex? You know, do you count the peeing? I don't. God, it's rough. I'll say 1500.
It's got to be high. Yeah. Joe, what do you think of Double Up?
I'll keep it short and sweet, man. Everyone who collaborated with fucking R. Kelly needs to really rethink their life and be like, hey, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that ever again. They should hire like an advisor and just be like, hey, man, guys who pee on people and pee on underage women and treat them like shit, maybe steer away from them, you know, maybe work with someone who, a little bit more PC, you know. But you know, that's just how Hollywood works and the devil, you know, it is what it is. I wasn't surprised that Usher was on here. He has herpes. He gives out herpes. It is what it is. But this record definitely solidified that he's a sexual deviant. You got to keep this dude away from people. I just want to keep in mind, if you haven't watched the Surviving R. Kelly documentary, it's bad. It's yeah. Like, oh, dude. It's pretty fucking terrible. And
I'm fighting for my life.
That's all I can think about. Like, he's fighting to keep his asshole from being gaped out.
He was married for like 10 years in the 90s. So, like, yeah, he's married while banging all these other people. Well, I assume he's banging out.
That's none of my business, but you know, if he's, let a pimp be a pimp, but be a pimp with of age people and don't treat him like shit. I'm saying, if they're just mad because, oh, you know, he's like, all right, bitch, you gotta go, like, and you know, he didn't do anything, like, if they all collaborate and be like, oh, he made us feel like shit, and just say he beat the shit out of us and all this shit, you know what I'm saying? Like that, and I could believe that, I could believe it, it sounds real. But I would say that the dude is, there's a lot, like, all his mannerisms, his heart, like the way his emotions are, like, it's a dead giveaway. He's fucked. He knows he's fucked. Like, the dude is,
When you say teenage, how are we talking?
it is also funny that after like all these accusations and stuff, he's still just making the same music about fucking in every single song.
The dude's a rapist. It is what it is. I would say this, it's definitely no Chocolate Factory. This record, it's got Epstein Island vibes. 3 for 10.
All right, let's read a couple YouTube comments. First, let me remind you that R. Kelly is still the king of R&B. Next one says, I'm a Flirt is one of the most player songs in history. Next one, I will never stop bumping this out my speakers. Next comment, here in 2021 post conviction, this shit is still fire. And last one, regardless of his lowdown history, this guy's music will forever slap. Yeah, I mean, he's a talented dude. Just would've been nice if he wasn't a creepazoid. Is there anything that anyone else wants to say about Double Up before we move on?
I do.
I'm fighting for my life.
Nice. All right, we're moving on to some of the greatest artwork of all time. Hopefully, all the women in these pictures are over 18.
Pimp shit.
Black Panties is a 13-track record released in 2013, coming in just over 49 minutes long. It's R. Kelly's 12th studio album, reaching number 4 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles My Story, Genius, Cookie, and Leg Shaken. Black Panties, as Kelly says, is the new 12 play, and in that it's different from his previous two albums, 2010's Love Letter and 2012's Write Me Back. In October 2013, in an interview with Rolling Stone, R. Kelly spoke about why he wanted to make the album sound similar to his 1993 debut, saying, I love that I can play around with all types of music. I did Love Letter and Write Me Back, and those were fun albums for me to do because they took me back to the music I love. But I wanted to change lanes with Black Panties and remind people of the TP2.com and 12 play style of music that I can do. Fans can never accuse R. Kelly of doing the same thing. I keep mixing it up. In December 2013, in an interview with Billboard, R. Kelly spoke about why he decided to name the album Black Panties, saying, I was on stage doing the Love Letter tour, and I was singing, Seems Like You're Ready. Every time I'm singing, panties start flying out of nowhere. Seriously, but this particular night, a black pair of mediums came out of the sky. They were black, and they landed on my wrist. Immediately, I looked at that. And I looked up like, that's a sign. Yeah, the idea hit me right away. In 2013, Kelly collaborated with several artists, including Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Jennifer Hudson, Lady Gaga, Birdman, Lil Wayne, Twista, and Justin Bieber. Black Panties has been certified gold and contains guest appearances by Ludacris, Kelly Rowland, 2 Chainz, Young Jeezy, Future, Migos, and Juicy J. Rob, what do you think of Black Panties?
I listened to this one a little bit. Let's see. I thought it was, so I'm hearing auto-tune on this dude's voice, and I don't like I was saying earlier, he didn't need it before. I don't know if he got in a fucking, voice injury. Maybe it's just that like the times had changed and he was changing with it, like you were saying a few minutes ago, because I don't know when mumble rap became a thing, but like, yeah, like around this time, you know, it became a thing to, you know, use auto-tune to make yourself sound like that way. And, so yeah, it was, I want to say the Lonely Island, like, okay, yeah, this shows you how fucking white I am. Like, my introduction to that was, what was it? I'm on a fucking boat or whatever with T-Pain or whatever. That dude had super fucking, like, that was one of, like, the first songs I ever, like, listened to all the way through that had a ton of, auto-tune on it. So, yeah, that was 2008, right? So, 2013, five years later, yeah. So, it was definitely a thing that people were stylistically doing this. And, you know, yeah, so I guess I can believe that he was doing it to, you know, fit in somehow, remain relevant somehow. And he did have a bunch of, yeah, like, I think... okay, yeah, I don't really remember if Future does fucking... auto-tune shit himself. I don't fucking remember. Okay, yeah, so opens with legs shaking. Ludacris, love Ludacris. Yeah, I think he also has a line about, you know, I'll give you oral better than your boy will. Yeah, okay. So the world will do that sort of thing. I don't know, it's dog-eat-dog world out there, I guess. Whatever. Yeah. Cookie. Okay. Yeah. A bunch of songs about like oral. Okay. A bunch of songs about fucking. Okay. Yeah. What I really want to talk about here is Prelude into Marry the Pussy. okay. Yeah. Nice. So Prelude, I'm going to, I referred to this, 5 minutes ago. Okay. So like the real talk is capturing a fight on, you know, and doing it in song format. Prelude, you know, it's capturing a fight, but it's, you know, so it's R. Kelly on the phone with some guy, and the other guy, like, some guy is, I guess, like, you know, he just had like a one night stand, but it's been, this one night stand has been going on for some time, and like, so, that dude is responding to R. Kelly and devaluing the woman at the same time. And like, so to me, this is, you know, this must be my autism, but for me, like, conflict like takes 100% of my bandwidth. So responding to two people and like, you know, like fighting and then like fighting and having a calm conversation at the same time is just about out of the question for me. I don't know how this dude does it, but like every fucking thing he's accused of, he has a fucking response to it. And to me, this is okay. Let's see if I can remember this exchange, which is like under my skin at the moment. It's something like, you know, you need to give me a ride home. Fuck you, walk home. I'm not walking home. You did last time and you'll do it again. And it's like, you think I'm going to come back to you? Well, you have come back to me. And it's like this, like that whole back and forth thing. Like this is not a relationship I would want for myself, but these relationships out there do exist. And then that dude just like calmly goes and like continues with his fucking conversation. And then R. Kelly's response to that is, you need to marry that woman. I don't recommend. Somebody's fucking crazy here, and I think it's everyone on this fucking on these songs. I wouldn't marry anyone who treats me this way, and I don't recommend. Like, I think this is why it used to be, like in my grandparents' generation, it was you had to get married because men didn't know how to cook, and if you wanted to not starve, you needed a woman to like do that for you. And then like women might have wanted to leave, but they had no fucking rights. They couldn't open a bank account, whatever. So it was just, you're both trapped with each other, and that's why, like, your wife dies, or maybe you killed her or whatever, you know, get married 6 months later. What other option do you have? You need to eat somehow, and you don't know how to cook, and you're not gonna fucking learn. I don't know, that was the time, and we're not there anymore. To me, if you don't have chemistry with a person, if they don't like make you like stronger in some way, then what's the fucking point? So this thing where you fucking to me I'm witnessing insanity. Like, why is your advice marry this person? I mean, I'm missing something, or you guys are missing something. I don't fucking know. What else do I want to say about this album? I don't know. I know that I listened to this album beginning to end, and I don't know. I don't know really know what else to say about it. Fucking third place. That's it.
Yo, I was laughing that whole time, Rob. Okay. So the artwork on this record is so ridiculous that it's kind of amazing. So if you don't know what this album looks like, I'm going to describe it. He is playing. So he's sitting, R. Kelly is sitting down. There is a topless woman in only her black underwear and shoes. She's sitting on his lap, and he's playing her with a bow like she's a cello. And then there is a deluxe version of this artwork that is just R. Kelly surrounded by 20 women, topless, and all they have on is their black underwear. So yeah, this is R. Kelly. When I see this, it makes me laugh, but it's like, I know he was completely serious when he was making this. Again, he's smart as hell for having so many collaborations. There's a bunch on this record as well. It's one of my favorite parts of his music. We have mentioned before that a bunch of people who had done collaborations with R. Kelly said they wish they hadn't done it. Celine Dion being one of them. So I was wondering though, like, how does Ludacris feel about it? And Ludacris says, I love R. Kelly, but around my daughters, I'm not comfortable with them. Honestly, this entire record could have been singles. I think it's a good collection of, it's not like his best collection of music, but I think it's a solid collection of like club music. I'm giving it number four for the week. There are some really funny lines on this album. Rob brought up Prelude. I hate that sketch. I hated it the first time I heard it. I wish it didn't exist. There are some sketches that work for me on rap albums. There's other ones that don't. However, Prelude goes right into a song called Marry the Pussy. This song is about a guy who wants to marry a woman's vagina and not the rest of her. Mm. And like, the song is so stupid that it might be genius. There's a line in the song. He says, I want to get down on my knee and ask that pussy to marry me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There are a lot of funny lines in this album that are ridiculous. There's a song called Throw This Money on You. It's like baby making jam about throwing money on a stripper or something. Ass swole like it's been stung by the whole hive. So this chick has a fat ass. And then he's throwing money on her. There's a song Cookie. Now Rob brought up the auto-tune. The song Cookie, banger song, no brainer single. Besides the lyrical content, I can see it being like played in every single club, which I don't think they really give a shit about lyrics there anyway. So I would have never guessed that Cookie is an R. Kelly jam. I would have figured the person singing is one of the other, like one of the guests, although there's no guest associated with that song, at least on Wikipedia. So yeah, because the auto tune sounds like something another artist would do. He worked with T-Pain before. Rob brought him up from On a Boat, the song by Lonely Island. I don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes which part is R. Kelly and which part is somebody else, especially when there's nobody listed. And one of my favorite things about this record is the last song is called Shut Up, and it is like R. Kelly's diss track. And he sings, it's like a baby making music song, and he sings it. And that's such an R. Kelly thing to do. It's like the most fitting thing on this record. I wasn't expecting it. It makes me laugh every time I hear it. How many babies have been made off of me? So he has this diss track where he's telling people to shut up, and it's sung. And it's like so unaggressive that it's fucking hilarious. Jomo, what do you think of Black Panties?
I love the title. The album was dog shit for me. It's not Chocolate Factory, man. Chocolate Factory was where it's at, and I think it has more to do with the age I grew up in, knowing that this dude peed on someone. Wow, I can't forgive Black Panties. I just want to say this. I don't want to talk anything about the album. I can't forgive Robert Kelly for the shit he did, man. It's too rough. I wish Ray was on here so that way we could get the black perspective. And I want to know what black people like. Did black people defend Michael Jackson, from all the kid fucking? They did a little bit of that, but are they willing to defend R. Kelly? Is another thing. And that's rough, man. You got to go like a full. That's a Hail Mary for the black culture, to defend Robert R. Kelly and be like, I remember. Hey, they're doubling up, they're doubling up. We're gonna double down on this one. We're gonna see if this rapist is gonna get away with it. You know what I'm saying? The shit didn't slap though. I did listen to it. It didn't slap for me. I didn't like it. It's not like Chocolate Factory. Nothing for me, but it is what it is.
I'm fighting for my life.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a video on. I saw it on Reddit, but somebody was filming like the OJ verdict, and he's in a room, I don't know, with like five black people or whatever. And when they said he was innocent, they were like, oh, hell yeah. Like they're jumping up and clapping. And it's everybody knows that OJ Simpson was guilty, but it was one of those things though, that if he was a white person, to the world, obviously, like he probably would have gotten off from it. So the fact that a black person was also able to do it, it's like, yeah, I mean, he was completely guilty, but I think it was a win in the fact that whether he was like innocent or guilty, everyone thought he was going to be guilty anyway.
Bro, you want to
I mean,
talk?
He was.
Let's talk
What's
about
up?
that for a second. So he won the criminal trial. How much did OJ pay for the fucking for the civil suit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but
Let's take a look. Let's take a look.
are you looking or you want me to
Yeah,
look?
I'm looking
Oh,
online,
okay. All right. Well, why you look it up? I want to bring up one more track on here, All the Way, which has Kelly Rowland. I saw her in a commercial the other day, and she's still smoking hot. So good for her. She's good to hear. She's still making music, and she sounds great. There's another song, You Deserve Better, which is another one of those where I wouldn't think that it's R. Kelly. Also, I'm surprised it wasn't a single. I would have gone all out. Now, this is where I'm not going to say it's on his decline, but he's not hitting number one anymore. But I still think that every single song on here pretty much should have been a single. And then do you have anything up or no?
Yeah, dude. So, according to news agencies, KTMV, this dude has paid close to $133,000 out of a $50 million settlement. Like,
Yeah.
yo, you're fucking guilty, bro. You're fucking
Oh,
guilty.
yeah, of course.
All right.
All right, let's read some YouTube comments and we'll get out of here. First, R. Kelly has finally done it, an entire CD that could be used as a soundtrack for any porn currently on the market. Next one says he's definitely one of the kings of baby making music. Next one, I don't give a fuck what anyone says about R. Kelly. I still fuck with his music. Next comment, I'm loving the Michael Jackson feel. And lastly, another song to smash to. Thanks, Kay. So yeah, we talked about four of his records. He had R. Kelly in 95, R in 98, TP2.com in 2000, Happy People You Saved Me in 2004, TP3 Reloaded in 2005, Untitled in 2009, Love Letter in 2010, Write Me Back in 2012, The Buffet in 2015, and 12 Nights of Christmas in 2016. Sucks that the last album you have to go out on is a Christmas record. And yeah, he's had collaborations with everybody. I don't know. There are some people who separate art from artists, and some people who say that they can't. So I don't know whether you want to or not. But yeah, he's talented, and he's made a lot of stuff that people know, and a lot of popular songs. He's nominated for 25 Grammys. But yeah, unfortunately, he is a creepazoid. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about R. Kelly before we get out of here?
No.
When you say teenage, how are we talking?
I hate it.
All right, who are we doing next week?
Hang on, I want to do one more. Hang on a second.
I'm fighting for my life.
I want to do four like 70s 80s bands: The Police, The Cars, Talking Heads, and I can't remember the other one.
Yeah,
someone.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right, well, take care.
When you say teenage, how are we talking?
Have a good day.